The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
I think that we are in the indictment zone. I don't know if it's tomorrow. I don't know if it's next week. I don't know if the grand jury is going to come back and say, we don't think an indictment is warranted here. That could also happen.
Could happen.
But I do think that your point about Trump's lawyers meeting with the prosecutors, and we haven't heard that that went super well. So that's why I think we're in the zone.
A former president is a target of a federal investigation. That in and of itself is historic.
Now, it's quite profound, John. And let's unpack what a target letter is. It is a notification from the Justice Department that your client is, that the Justice Department has substantial evidence linking your client to a crime, that they are the primary focus of an investigation. It's also a sign that the Justice Department is at least thinking about charges. And look, wink, wink, odds are that charges are coming. And
there's no question that he is going to get charged. I think it's just a question now of when.
Well, it certainly seems like they're closing in on the target. And, you know, Donald Trump really is the mastermind and the ringleader of the entire operation.
I think the word that you could use here that was probably inadvisably used in the Georgia investigation is that an indictment is imminent. I mean, I think it's highly, they're basically telling him they're likely to indict him, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be tomorrow. Doesn't necessarily mean that next week. I mean, but it does mean that if you are a believer in the rule of law and have a hankering for the rule of law, the Santa's going to come early this year, and it's not going to be in Christmas. It's going to be sooner rather than later.
George Conway, what in the world? Here's, well, you heard it yourself there. Operation Get Trump enters warp speed. I mean, they've got to move, as I've been covering this week, they've got to move fast because they don't want to give the impression they're going to interfere with the election next year. But that's exactly what this is. And Donald Trump said so in a recent interview. I'll go through it with you in just a moment. This is election interference all over again. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. You can get to the live stream of this show at our website, trumpetdaily.com. You can also see us usually at our Rumble channel. I understand there were some problems and difficulties with the stream on Rumble yesterday, but hopefully that's straightened out today. And you can enjoy the live stream over at Rumble and increase the views and the rumbles or whatever they're called for each of those videos that we post. Of course, you can get to the show after the fact if you choose to listen or view it on demand. Lots to get to on today's show. Just a few housekeeping items. We'll have some feedback from the show last night in York, Pennsylvania. I think it was 540 in attendance for that show, that performance. And we got some wonderful feedback. We're just in the process of editing it. There was some comments made by a dance teacher who was just kind of blown away at the level of professionalism and the versatility of these many performers. So to keep track of the summer tour, make sure you visit CelticThrone.com. The next week, I believe it's Richmond, a couple of shows in Virginia. So if you live in the Virginia area, now is your opportunity to go to CelticThrone.com and to secure your tickets for an upcoming performance. I should note, too, that the last two shows of this season, July 9th and July 16th, both of those performances are at our beautiful home turf, Headquarters Auditorium, Armstrong Auditorium. That's two Sunday performances, and tickets for that have been really selling fast. So this may be your last opportunity to, if you're from the Oklahoma area, to view Celtic Throne live and in person. So there's that. Also, I thought I would mention that that montage, I think it was from a couple of weeks ago, the walls are closing in. We probably should have played that today, given the warp speed of this operation to get Trump. In any event, Charlie Kirk, the conservative commentator, he tweeted out that montage. And I think Sam tells me he has something like 2 million viewers or followers on Twitter. So hopefully as his followers watch the montage, they'll see they'll see the Trumpet Daily label at the top right corner of that. So we have been getting, as I've covered in recent weeks, we've been getting some pretty good publicity, and we're having some pretty good success with the Rumble channel. Even in the comments section, which has been somewhat surprising. So there's that. And then there's the Operation Warp Speed. Get Trump. Go after Trump. If Donald Trump was even half as evil as they've said he is for 7 years, they all loved him before he came down the escalator, they wanted him to attend their weddings. They wanted him to help with legislation. They wanted to be in the same room as Donald Trump. But all of that switched the moment he came down the escalator. Now he's evil. He's like the second coming of Hitler. And so what are they going to get Hitler on? Documents. Documents. That's right. Correspondence that he had with Emmanuel Macron. Napkins that he took from the White House. Dinner menus. Things of that nature. A letter from Obama. Wow. That's what they get Hitler for? Well, yeah, they say it with a straight face. You saw the montage there. They're excited. It's Santa Claus coming early, says George Conway. This is their go-to commentator. This guy that hates Trump. And so does Raskin. All of them. Weissman? You're going to get Weissman, who was the pit bull for Bob Mueller? And he's coming forward with his tweets, his commentary. Play the Raskin clip. This is from yesterday, clip 7.
I'm charmed by my colleague's sudden interest in Russian subversion of American elections, something that they used to describe as the Russian hoax. If only they had shown a fraction of the interest in stopping Donald Trump's sellout of the American government to Vladimir Putin on everything from NATO to Syria to Ukraine.
The sellout of the American government to Vladimir Putin? We'll get him on that then. If he's a traitor, if he's committed treason, if he's sold America down the river to Vladimir Putin, then put him in jail for that. Where's your evidence, Mr. Raskin? They don't have it. They just spout off. He's still a believer in the Trump-Russia collusion hoax. It doesn't matter that that's been thoroughly debunked. He still spouts off with that, even as they simultaneously go after Donald Trump for rustling papers, leaking pools, and moving boxes. You'll notice they're not getting him on the Presidential Records Act, because he had the authority as president to declassify. He declassified all the Crossfire Hurricane documents the day before he left office. That's undoubtedly why the DOJ raided his house. Because he has the evidence, he has the receipts of the fact that this was a coup. This was a coup. I mean, if it was a soft coup in the Russiagate period, then it's a hard coup now as they try to put him in prison. This is Banana Republic stuff. Go after the political opposition. It's like Donald Trump said in his interview with Byron York. If I wasn't running for re-election, if I wasn't in politics, they wouldn't come after me for something this stupid and trivial. But you got to get Trump. This is from Just the News. It says federal prosecutors have notified Donald Trump that he is a criminal target and likely to be indicted imminently in a probe into alleged classified documents. Alleged classified documents. Even as the Justice Department declined to delay charges to give time to investigate allegations of witness tampering submitted by the former president's legal team. Well, forget about the witness tampering. Forget about how your prosecutors have conducted themselves in front of the grand jury. I'll come to that in just a second. They've got to hurry. Hurry it along. The sources directly familiar with the case told Just the News that DOJ declined to delay the planned indictment of Trump to investigate allegations that a senior prosecutor working on the case tried to influence a key witness, by discussing a federal judgeship with the witness lawyer. No big deal. I mean, we can't slow down for that. I mean, that's some kind of criminal activity. Play the clips from this former attorney representing Donald Trump. Just notice what he had to to deal with when he cooperated. That's really the problem here. Trump and his people shouldn't even cooperate. That's what Obama would do. Obama would say, hey, attorney-client privilege, I'm not going to reveal anything. I'm not going to turn over anything. I've declassified everything anyway. This is the former Trump attorney, Tim Parlatore, clip 8.
The Trump attorneys have raised questions about prosecutorial misconduct in this case. What did you witness?
I witnessed a lot of misconduct.
What did that look like?
So it's been reported, I went before the grand jury myself. I was not subpoenaed. I went involuntarily as you know, in the place of a custodian of records. And I was really stunned by what I saw in the grand jury room by the conduct of the prosecutors. You know, they made many attempts to try to get at privileged communications. They would ask me about conversations with my client. They would make improper references to the jury, trying to mislead them about that. At one point, it got to the level where, you know, they're asking me this again, and then they turn to the grand jury and they say, so you're refusing to provide this information. Like, no, I'm not refusing to provide. The ethical rules prohibit me. Even if the answer to this question is helpful, I'm not allowed to give it. And I turned to the jury and I said, and she knows it. She knows that it's an improper question. It's an improper inference.
Here they are badgering Trump's attorneys saying, tell us all about your communication with your client. Well, that's protected by attorney-client privilege. How many times did Obama's people, I mean, that's why they were surrounded by attorneys. All their assistants were attorneys as well. That way they could conceal all of their criminal activity. Well, we can't talk about it because she's an attorney. He's an attorney. That's attorney-client privilege. Clinton did the same thing. Hillary Clinton. She destroyed 33,000 emails that were subpoenaed. And no obstruction of justice? Jim Comey's making the rounds about how that you've got to get Trump and you've got to get him this summer. And nothing. He was the FBI director when Clinton was smashing the servers, crushing her iPhones to destroy evidence of a massive pay-to-play scheme, just like the Biden crime family has. So here's this attorney. He's talking about the way Jack Smith and his prosecutors are operating. They're there. Here he shows up, the Trump attorney. He's not even subpoenaed. He just goes forward. He cooperates. That's the first mistake. You cooperate with these communists, they'll destroy you. Listen again to this same attorney, clip 9.
That then led to an exchange where she tried saying, well, the privilege has exceptions. It could be waived, yes. Well, if the president's so cooperative, why won't he waive privilege and allow you to tell the grand jury about his conversations?
Why does that cross a legal red line?
Well, that crosses a major red line as far as implying guilt to a jury based on the invocation of a constitutional right. It's the kind of thing that if that had happened in a trial court, the judge would have immediately stopped everything, probably declared a mistrial. And it's the kind of thing that, quite frankly, an attorney, a prosecuting attorney who willfully does that type of thing would potentially face discipline. And I think that they probably will when this case comes out.
They probably will. But the thing of it is, that's not going to happen for, what, a couple of years? The process is the punishment. The process, they're just trying, as I read yesterday, the point of this is to wear down Donald Trump and to make sure he can't run for office. You think they would actually be carrying this out, this kind of a case, if he weren't running for office next year, if he wasn't the front runner of the Republican Party? This is from The Independent in the UK. It says, The Independent has learned that prosecutors are ready to ask grand jurors to approve an indictment against Mr. Trump for violating a portion of the U.S. criminal code known as Section 793, which prohibits gathering, transmitting, or losing any information respecting the national defense. So the DOJ basically gets to decide what's, you know, very sensitive information that endangers the U.S. national defense. I mean, it's serious. This letter to Macron, or the one he got from Macron, says here the use of Section 793, which does not make reference to classified information, is understood to be a strategic decision by prosecutors that has been made to short-circuit Mr. Trump's ability to claim that he used his authority as president to declassify documents. Okay, so you declassify them, but these are sensitive. These have to do with national defense, so we've got to put you in prison. Here's another new legal tactic that the prosecutors are trying to see if it can just get some traction in some court somewhere. And then if it eventually gets squashed by the Supreme Court down the road, which it surely would, you would hope anyway. That's all right. That's all right, because we need to put him in handcuffs. We need the indictment. We need the arraignment. We need him to be destroyed politically. And so that's the goal here. Same paper says, over the course of the last year, grand jurors have heard testimony from numerous associates of the ex-president, including nearly every employee of Mar-a-Lago, former administration officials who worked in Mr. Trump's post-presidential office for his political operation, and former high-ranking administration officials such as his final White House chief of staff, Mark Meadows. So here comes Mark Meadows to stab him in the back, of course. Surprise, surprise, says Meadows has already given evidence before the grand jury and is said to be cooperating with the investigation into his former boss. It's understood that the former North Carolina congressman will plead guilty to several federal charges as part of a deal for which he has already received limited immunity in exchange for his testimony. So they got Mark Meadows they got him to surrender. He was the chief of staff for Donald Trump. We'll give you immunity. We'll give you this excellent deal. Otherwise, we're coming after you. It's just like they did with General Flynn's son. We'll go right after your son if you don't cooperate, you see. So here's Mark Meadows cooperating. The people that were closest to Trump. You had Mike Pence make his announcement yesterday. Now he's running for office. He's at the CNN town hall. I wonder how many people tuned into that compared to what Donald Trump pulled in a few weeks ago. Listen to Mike Pence as he announces his run for president. Clip 3.
And it'd be easy to stay on the sidelines. That's not how I was raised. I've long believed that to whom much is given, much will be required. That's why today, before God and my family, I'm announcing that I'm running for president of the United States of America.
There you have it, and 150 people or so go crazy. Listen to what he had to say. I think this might be from the town hall later in the day, but he had this to say about January 6th. This is, again, more than 2 years after the fact. Clip 4.
On that fateful day, President Trump's words were reckless. They endangered my family and everyone at the Capitol. But the American people deserve to know that on that day, President Trump also demanded that I choose between him and the Constitution. Now voters will be faced with the same choice. I chose the Constitution, and I always will.
It's unbelievable. It's like it's exactly what Bill Barr would say. These rhinos must get together regularly to talk about all the laws. I mean, it's really not that dissimilar from what Raskin said. Just carrying on these lies. Like what President Trump did on January 6th was unconstitutional? Really? You mean Trump asking you to delay certification so that investigations could take place into election fraud that somehow violates the Constitution of the United States? He chose between Trump and the Constitution. In other words, Trump is unconstitutional. Trump's shredding the Constitution. But me, oh, listen to me, I'm his former vice president. And I'm here before God to uphold the law of the land. It's really sickening to see this level of cowardice, really, and to see how dishonest so many of these people are. Listen again to what he said at that town hall later on in the day, clip 5.
Donald Trump says he is, quote, inclined to pardon many members of the mob who attacked the Capitol on January 6th. Those people were, of course, part of the same mob who built gallows and chanted about wanting to hang you. Would you consider pardoning any of them?
You know, on the day of January 6th, I issued a tweet demanding that people leave the Capitol and end the violence. And I said that those that failed to do that should be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. And I continue to believe that today. We cannot ever allow what happened on January 6th to happen again in the heart of our democracy. And I'll stand by the decisions and the due process of court in our laws. And I have no interest or no intention of pardoning those that assaulted police officers or vandalized our Capitol. They need to be answerable to the law.
No intentions whatsoever of pardoning any of them. Now, he's had over 2 years. He talks about the tweet that he sent out that day. Notice, too, how he just kind of, she sets up the narrative. The mob, you see, the mob. And then Pence, for his part, he just plays along. Okay, yeah, I'll go with your language. How about, you mean there's nothing you can say 2 years on about people who've sat in jail for 2 years just waiting for a trial? Or people who have been sentenced to 4 and 5 years in prison for walking into the Capitol because a door was open? How about some clarification or just some balance? Okay, the mob on the one hand, the few, the rabble-rousers, but just so that you know, Miss CNN, there have been people that have been unjustly persecuted. And oh, by the way, you know, he speaks of his family being endangered. What about Ashley Babbitt? What about her family? What about Roseanne Boyle? He says nothing. He says nothing about that. He thinks about January 6th the same way that Jamie Raskin does, the same way that Nancy Pelosi does. And yet you've got the regime media talking about Pence as if he's some radical conservative. Really? He's establishment through and through. And he reveals it every time he talks about his former boss, every time he talks about January 6th. It's so dishonest. It's treacherous, really, to not at least tell truth. He's right in step with CNN's take on January 6th. And of course, CNN loves it. They love it. And it doesn't matter that they got poor ratings. You know, the CNN news guy, the head of the news division, he just announced he's stepping down, and there's all kinds of commentary that suggests it's because he invited Donald Trump to the town hall. You're not supposed to do that. You can't give Donald Trump a platform to speak. He belongs in prison. Now, Mike Pence, that's another story. Get him out. Get him out there and let him talk. And even if nobody tunes in, never mind. Sundance's take on Operation Warp Speed to get Trump. He says, again, if media reports are accurate, Jack Smith is now relying on U.S. Code 793, a law created in 1948 intended to stop contractors to the Defense Department from stealing, selling, or copying U.S. defense system secrets or patents on defense products. So here's another obscure law that they're dusting off the books, the law books, just combing through all of these statutes. We got to find something to get Trump. Anything. We'll consider the Logan Act to take down Mike Flynn. We'll pull a law from off the books that's never been used or not been used in 100 years. This is the way these demons think. Maine Justice is now stretching code 793 to claim any document the government designates as a national security document. It's a national defense document. It says if the DOJ says a box of Cheerios is a national security threat, the judicial branch accepts that all Cheerio boxes are proffered national security concerns. He's exaggerating for effect, but there's a kernel of truth to this. It's preposterous how they're using these statutes, these codes, all in order to get Trump. Sundance here says the DOJ has granted legal benefit of the doubt on all matters of national security, which puts the DOJ NSD in ultimate control over the star chamber they operate. So the DOJ gets to establish the ground rules. They get to move the goalposts when they need to. It's all about national security. So Chris Wray, he can't give over the document. I guess he budged a little bit last night and said that the committee can read it, but he's still not going to turn it over. Why? Well, sources and methods and our informants, their lives are going to come under fire. Literally, if we reveal these sources, they establish all the ground rules. We'll see what Comer does. He's backed off at the moment. But they should just barrel ahead with contempt charges against Chris Wray. That's what Obama's people would do. They wouldn't hesitate. They've gone through two impeachments. Here, listen, one impeachment, the perfect phone call to Zelensky, was basically to encourage him to investigate the Biden crime family for bribery. Think about that. Bribery. Play the Rand Paul. This is number six.
There's certainly some irony to the fact that they impeached Donald Trump because he tried to pressure people to investigate the bribery scandal. Now the impeachment's gone, but the bribery scandal is still there. And for the first time, someone's looking at it. I'm proud of Jamie Comer. He's from my state. I think he's doing a great job investigating this, and they shouldn't let go. I haven't seen enough of the facts to know if Joe Biden was involved with accepting money. I think without question, Hunter Biden was accepting money and peddling his father's influence, and I think much of that was illegal and hasn't been prosecuted. Whether or not Joe Biden was directly involved, it should be investigated. And I think hold their feet to the fire. Christopher Wray, hold him in contempt, bring him in, make him show the evidence, let the public see the evidence.
They impeached Trump for encouraging Zelensky to look into bribery charges. I mean, Biden's on tape. He goes pretty easy on Joe Biden, but look, he's on tape bragging about the fact that he threatened Ukraine. He threatened them with withdrawing $1 billion unless Ukraine got rid of this prosecutor that was looking into Burisma, among other things. That's amazing. The two-tiered system of justice. And yet Jack Smith goes forward. There's no hesitation here. Again, we won't know exactly what the indictment or the charges will be until it actually happens. But there's a lot of people who are looking at this saying, I mean, that would be it. The Republic's hanging by a thread as it is. But if these demon-inspired traitors can get away with something like this in the United States of America... Byron York had an interview with Donald Trump. It says here there are reports that the Justice Department is on the verge of indicting former President Trump in the classified documents investigation. Not only would such an indictment be the first federal charge against a former president, but it would also be the first time a sitting president's administration has indicted a leading opposition party candidate in the run-up to a presidential election. Like I said, I mean, yesterday, they've taken off the mask and the gloves. This is vicious, these attacks. Totally motivated by politics alone. Got to find a code. What about 793? Let's get him on that. It says they're doing it to affect the election, Trump said in a conversation Wednesday at his club in New Jersey. They are cheating on the election just like they did the last time. I mean, that is completely true. That's the truth. Jesus said the truth is what sets you free. How did they cheat last time? Well, the 100 million mail-in ballots, that's how, among other ways. They've used that. That was their ace in the hole in 2020. So they've used that. Now they've got to try to put him in prison so that he can't even run. They're cheating. It says earlier Wednesday, journalist John Solomon, who has represented Trump in dealings with the National Archives and Records Administration, reported that federal prosecutors led by special counsel Jack Smith have notified Donald Trump that he is a criminal target and likely to be indicted imminently. And it quotes Trump here, they'll do whatever they can to win the election. It's just like my father wrote in America Under Attack. What we're seeing is just how desperate they are and that they'll do anything to try to maintain their grip on power. If you don't have this copy, this is the new hardcover edition. Came out just a couple of weeks ago. Call our operators today and request America Under Attack. That's what we're seeing here, obviously. 1-866-930-3024. They'll do whatever they can to win the election. It's quoting Trump. This is from Byron York. If I were down in the polls where I wasn't going to win, I'm way up on Biden, by the way, far more on DeSantis. If I were going to lose the election or if I wasn't running, they wouldn't even waste their time. This is a civil situation. It's a civil case. At most, it's a civil case. But they're trying to turn it in. It's about papers. It's about documents. And they're trying to turn it into a criminal case so that they can lock up Donald Trump. And as to Trump not cooperating, is that why he just invited the FBI in back and forth? And the FBI said Mar-a-Lago was basically the government protected it because of all the Secret Service people. It's quite unlike the classified documents that Pence and Biden had. Those were they were in unsecured facilities. And furthermore, those two never had the presidential authority to declassify. If anything, Smith should be going after Biden and Pence. If this was a fair standard of justice, that's what would be happening. If they really were concerned, even about a former president not handing over documents, they would have gone after Obama years ago. But you can't go after the dear leader. Obama can do no wrong. He can just tell the records people in D.C., forget about it. I'm going to write my memoirs. I'm keeping as many documents as I want. So be it. What are you going to do? They didn't do anything. No, the code, 793, I mean, that's reserved for Donald Trump. I mean, it was never used for anything like this. But hey, we've got the bad orange man. We've got to try to destroy him. So just pick a code, any code. Dial it up. And we'll test out a new legal theory. How about that? This is outrageous that it's happening in the United States of America. As I say, it's Banana Republic stuff is what it is. It says here, this is the greatest witch hunt of all time, Trump said. This is election interference. I did absolutely nothing wrong. The Presidential Records Act is 100% clear. There was no crime committed. This is a civil thing. They could sue me civilly to get things back. But every president took things when they left the White House, and then they go after me criminally? I don't think the people are going to stand for it. The American people, he means. And York then questioned, well, what do you mean by that? What do you think's going to happen? I mean, well, we'll see. We'll see. If this is the last thread that's really holding up the Republic, you send off the most popular politician, the opposition politician, send him off to prison. I guess we'll see what happens here in the United States. It says here, Trump is the subject of a variety of criminal investigations. There's the document case. There's another federal investigation also run by Smith into the events surrounding January 6th. There's the 2020 election investigation in Fulton County, Georgia, and there's the case against him in Manhattan. That's the one over the bookkeeping error. Remember that? Yeah, the bookkeeping error. You've got the bookkeeping error and the rustling papers. Very, very serious. Says, in addition, when the Manhattan charges were filed, many observers, and not just Trump supporters, noted that the 34 counts against Trump were weak. even people who aren't Trump supporters acknowledged. It's so weak, these charges. There's nothing criminal about it, Trump said, of Smith's investigation. They are using this and trying to make this criminal because of election interference. They're trying to interfere in the election by doing this. And I think they'll do it because I think they're crazy. These people are crazy. So he's not surprised. We won't be surprised either. These people are crazy. That's a nice way of saying, really, they're demon inspired. Satan and his demons have been cast down to this earth. They're encircling the earth. I mean, they're surcharging the air with their demonic influence. And they want to blot out even the name of Israel. That's what 2 Kings 14 is all about. Only God could. I mean, look at the ones that were closest to Donald Trump. Mike Pence, Mark Meadows. So many traitors. When it says in 2 Kings 14, again, that's expounded upon in America Under Attack, but when it says that there's no helper, the affliction is so bitter, and there's no helper, they all turn out to be traitors, every single one of them. How much more does, speaking of draining the swamp, I mean, you could argue that Trump made a lot of bad personnel decisions in 2016 and 17 because you look at the way the people turned out. But initially, I mean, Bill Barr, we sang praises for that man when he first came along to help Trump. And now he's out there saying, yeah, Trump deserves it. He was giving him the runaround for a year and a half. He doesn't say anything about the fact that Smith and company have put all of this together in just a matter of months. And now here comes the indictment. And what about Hunter? What about the Biden crime family bribery scheme that goes back years and years and years? Well, there's an ongoing investigation there as well. Really? It's ongoing? You still don't have the goods? You still don't have the evidence? You still can't find some statute, some code somewhere suggesting that the Biden crime family was bribed from foreign adversaries? Pay to play. Clintons were good at that. So were the Bidens. And at the top of it all, of course, is the dear leader, Barack Hussein Obama. He was involved in it all, this criminal enterprise, this crime syndicate. Says here, this group of people, Marxist, communist, this is quoting Trump, fascist, this group of people is horrible for this country. And what they're trying to do is practice election interference. The only difference between me and almost everybody else is that so far, every time I get sued, my poll numbers go way up. Because the American public gets it. And because I'm able to explain to people, the American public gets it. The public sees it. They see how unjust it is. They're outraged by it. And so is Donald Trump. They see it as election interference, just like Donald Trump does. And his popularity increases. It goes up. The more they persecute him, because the more they persecute him, the more the people want him. Because remember, when Trump was in office, he used to say, it's not me that they're after. They're after you. They want total control. They don't want you voting in an outsider who's vowing to come in and drain the swamp. They don't want you to have any say whatsoever in this constitutional republic. So they've got to get rid of the one populist, the one who's representing you, the American people. They've got to destroy him because they can't beat him at the ballot box. So this is their election interference campaign this time. This time it's get Trump through lawfare. Put Trump in prison through lawfare. And then we don't even have to worry about the election And if one of those rhinos wins, actually beats Biden, that's just fine. I mean, as long as it's the Uniparty. DeSantis, I mean, at least he's come out in defense of the January 6th protesters and has talked about how unjust these attacks on Donald Trump are. But he's losing support because he has to attack Trump in so many other ways. But outside of that, I mean, look at the field. Chris Christie? Really? These people are crazy, Donald Trump says. I think they'll do it because they're crazy. Pretty sad situation in the United States of America. When we come back, we've got some clips here I really would like to play from Justin Trudeau in Canada. All these wildfires that are happening, I think, in Alberta, and the smoke is coming down, descending upon the New York City area, the northeast of the United States. Yet another curse. Of course, it's not a crisis that the communists are going to let go to waste. They're out there saying climate change. It's all about climate change. We'll get to that when we come back. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to email the show, you can reach us at td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily.
What has happened to the United States of America? The wealthiest, most powerful nation in human history is suddenly divided, weakened, radical. The evil in America has grown powerful. The good has grown weak. The honorable parts of American history are succumbing to a direct, targeted, sustained assault. Someone, something is dismantling America's history, purpose, and character.
Fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
Political dysfunction, social strife, economic peril, catastrophic moral failure, fires, attacks, riots, lies. The nation is being attacked from within by its own leaders. Powerful elites in government, journalism, academia, and beyond are intentionally, rapidly destroying what America is in order to make it into something else. There is a reason why your nation is crumbling before your eyes. There is a spirit and a specific perpetrator that is attempting to blot out America. Only America Under Attack reveals that perpetrator and the motive and spirit behind him. This newly expanded book shows you the reason why America has changed so dramatically, so suddenly. If you're confused and concerned about what is happening to America, request your free copy of America Under Attack by Gerald Fleury at thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
I will never apologize for standing up for an LGBTQ 2+ kids' rights.
Easy for you to say. Oh, brother. Too many letters. How about that? But the sickening part of this, LGBTQ kids' rights? Really? Kids' rights? So he's on board with the agenda. Yeah, that's right. That's right. If the kids want to rearrange their body in any fashion, if they want some kind of gender-changing surgery, you got to let them do it. That's the way these people think. Canada's having its worst wildfire season in history. And there have already been reports that some have set these fires purposefully, on purpose. Happens a lot here in the United States as well, sending off these massive plumes of smoke, as I say, descending into the United States, the Northeast. It says wildfires continue to ravage large tracts of forests in Canada with little sign weather will provide much help to firefighters who are battling the blazes that sent smoke more than 1,000 miles southward and prompted air hazard alerts in cities on both sides of the U.S. border. says more than 400 forest fires are still active across the country. So 400, and as if right on cue, you've got politicians like Chuck Schumer, you've got Trudeau for his part, saying, you know, we got to do something about climate change. It's always climate change. That's the monster that we've got to attack. Take away your liberties, take away all your freedoms so that we can finally do something serious about climate change. Notice how just how worked up Trudeau gets. This was in their the question period yesterday in Parliament. This is clip number one.
And for the leader of the opposition to consider that the forest fires that are taking people from their communities and destroying their homes are a mere distraction and not top of mind for people from coast to coast to coast is shameful. But the fact of the matter is he doesn't have anything to say about that because he refuses to put forward any real plan to fight against climate change. And he does nothing but fight against our plan to fight climate change. If he has a better plan, let him say it because we've been waiting a long time for it. But he has no plan to fight climate change. He still questions whether it exists while Canada is burning.
Wow. I mean, if you want to get Trudeau angry, then don't accuse him of using this as an opportunity to be even more aggressive with climate change policies. That's irrational right there. That's unhinged emotion right there over something that's just, again, completely fake. If not completely fake, certainly it doesn't justify trillions and trillions of dollars of crazy communist policies that really is just intended to give the government more control, more power, and to take away freedoms, to take away liberty from you, Joe Q Public. This story yesterday, I just wanted to comment on it a little bit more. This pedophile, Instagram connects vast pedophile network. If you think about, again, when there's something like 100 million posts per day on Instagram, on the one hand, I mean, you can sympathize with the police force that's there at the social media giant. But then when you think about how quickly they were able to censor comments having to do with lockdowns or vaccines, certainly the election steal, I mean, they were able to blot those things out instantaneously. But with this, child pornography and pedophilia, it's a different story. And in the case of this, I mean, here are the police at Instagram that are actually choosing to allow pedophilia platforms and communication between them. They're helping make it easier. This is that Wall Street Journal piece. It says pedophiles have long used the internet, but unlike the forums and file transfer services that cater to people who have interest in illicit content, Instagram doesn't merely host these activities. Its algorithms promote them. I gave you this quote yesterday, but it's worth reading again. Its algorithms promote it. That's right. It says Instagram connects pedophiles and guides them to content sellers via recommendation systems that excel at linking those who share niche interests, the journal and the academic researchers found. It says test accounts set up by researchers that viewed a single account in the network were immediately hit with suggested for you recommendations of purported child sex content sellers and buyers, as well as accounts linking to off-platform content trading sites. It says following just a handful of these recommendations was enough to flood a test account with content that sexualizes children. They're just linking it together. Hey, you're into child pornography? We've got a few suggestions for you. You might like these sites too. And meanwhile, they censor conservative speech. These same people. It says here, a Meta spokesman, Instagram's owned by Facebook, a Meta spokesman said the company actively seeks to remove such users, taking down 490,000 accounts for violating its child safety policies in January alone. So they're defending themselves, saying, hey, we've actually taken down 490,000 accounts just in January. I mean, okay, leave aside how they should police their site, whatever. 490,000 accounts in January alone? This is some level of filth and perversion. This is Sodom and Gomorrah stuff. It's just all around us. That's why Jesus compared us these last days, our nations, the Israelite nations in particular, the United States and Britain, the U.S. and Britain in prophecy. I showed you that book yesterday. 490,000 accounts in January alone. I mean, it's stunning to think about just the enormity of this problem, this disgusting filth, this sin. Let's call it what it is. Sin is the transgression of God's law. How in the world would this ever uphold the purity, the sanctity of God's righteousness, his law? The Bible says that we're to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, God does give us a lifetime to overcome, assuming you're converted to the truth and you've received the Spirit of God. It does take this physical lifetime to put away sin and to become righteous like God is righteous. And we certainly need time to overcome our problems, our weaknesses, our faults, our struggles, our addictions, whatever it is. But the sickness here, I mean, and then to see it facilitated by the Instagram algorithms, the Wall Street Journal says, in many cases, Instagram has permitted users to search for terms that its own algorithms know may be associated with illegal material. In such cases, a pop-up screen for users warned that these results may contain images of child sexual abuse. Can you believe that? Just so that you know, we're warning you, but these, what you're about to go view may contain child abuse. Child sexual abuse. Instead of just crushing it, instead of just stamping it out, they're there helping the pedophiles, helping them get to the content that they're seeking, the perverted content. These results may contain images of child sexual abuse and noted that production and consumption of such material causes extreme harm to children. Oh, does it? You mean sexually abusing children causes harm to them? This is the level of insanity that we're living in. Sodom and Gomorrah, through and through. This is the kind of thing that gets actively promoted from the ruling class, even the elites of our society, even as they go after Trump for rustling some papers. Got to get him on Statute 793. It says here, the screen offered two options for users: get resources and see results anyway. What do you want to do? We've put this warning out there. Do you want to go ahead and proceed? Do you want to see it anyway? And, well, I guess judging by the number of accounts that they deleted in January alone, nearly 500,000. I guess a lot of these posts must receive quite a lot of traffic. And Facebook, Zuckerberg, you know, the one that put all the money into changing election rules so that Donald Trump was voted out illegally. Zuckerberg's there saying, well, you know, we got to promote it. I mean, if this is what people want, free speech, right? Free speech. What a sick and perverted world we live in. This world needs the return of Jesus Christ and the marriage, the holy and righteous marriage between Christ and the church to begin solving these kinds of grotesque problems and evils. We'll probably spend some more time on it. It's a long article, and it should be getting quite a lot. I noticed Richard Palmer pointed to it in his morning brief, but it should be getting a lot more attention, as I said on yesterday's show, than it is. In any event, that's all we have time for on today's show. Where did the time go? It just goes by too fast. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. Don't forget to email us, td@thetrumpet.com. www.thetrumpitdaily.com. We thank you for joining us today, and we'll see you tomorrow.